The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 11th chapter, text number 16, given by Srila Arinda Srivdas on February 4th, 1992, in Philadelphia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society for Social Orders. And here we have text 16 on the board. We'll skip 15, which has no purport. So I'll read 15 first. Our community, Vaishya, should always follow the directions of the Brahmanas and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the Shudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service. So now text 16, which has a purport on the board here. As an alternative, a brahmana may also take to the Vaishya's occupational duty of agriculture, cow protection, and trade, or trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect paddy left in a field by a proprietor. Or he may collect food grains left here and there in the shops of grain dealers. These are four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by brahmanas. Among these four, each of them in succession is better than the one preceding it. Srila Prabhupada's report. A brahmana is sometimes offered land and cows in charity, and thus for his livelihood, he may act in the same way as a Vaishya, by cultivating land, giving protection to cows, and trading off his surpluses. A better process, however, is to pick up grains from a field or from a dealer's shop without begging. So now we have the clear picture of the four varnas. For a brahmana, his business is, at least for earning his maintenance, he receives in charity. Kshatriya, in exchange for protecting the citizens, maintaining peace. He collects taxes, import duties, fines, and so on. The Vaishyas are actually the productive caste, class. Agriculture, Krishi, Goraksha, trade, some surplus, banking, that kind of thing. But notice that when Prabhupada says trade, that this is considered not that you're in Vedic culture, that's your main business. But really the main business is agricultural production, and then whatever surplus there may be, that's traded. Not that there's an overweening development of trade for trade's sake, but that actually one is engaged in these things, and then trades the surplus. So then it goes on that a brahmana may also be permitted to take up the Vaishya's occupational duty. As one who receives in charity, there will be land, cows, and so on. So if necessary, the brahmana can do that. He can work those things like a Vaishya, and that's permitted, he said. But really, the better process is four things. For example, if there's just not enough income coming in a regular way, then he may get his foodstuff, that is to say grains, he's talking here about grains, in four different ways. And there's a sequence of four, they're ordered. This the one following is better than the one previous to it, huh? First, going to the field to beg for some grains. Or the grains in the field is being threshed, and you may not have some. Second is just picking up the fields just first is dependent on what he has received without begging. That's the first thing. Excuse me. Shalina. That is to say, whatever comes, you accept. You don't even try. That's one thing. Next is just depend on what you receive without begging. Next is going to beg for some paddy in the fields. Next is picking up the grains left in the fields by the proprietor. In other words, just going after the right, you know, the grains from the right. You can see it in India. They have a threshing floor, and people throw it up in the air, and the wind carries away the chaff and everything, and then the grain, rice or the wheat or whatever, will fall down. That's the process. So then they collect it all and put it in bags and take away, and there's a lot left around. So you come and you pick that up. That's the other way. Or then going here and there in the shop to the grain dealers, they have big bags of grains that spills on the floor, the bags are torn, stuff will emulate on piles. You pick that up. Some of them really live on that. So it said those kinds of things just depend on what you receive without begging, or begging in the paddy field, or collecting leftover grains in the fields or in the shops. Though that process is better than actually spending your time in agricultural production for a brahmana. That's what it says there. So you can see that the brahmana people, that class of people, is really supposed to be not attached. They're not people. You'll notice that their source of livelihood or income is a major source of material attachment, and distorts their judgment. And people, without thinking about it, have an outlook and make decisions based on their own economic self-interest. They have no vision. People in human society, they cannot consider. People who want to consider, for example, the welfare of the United States of America, what they consider the welfare of the United States of America is whatever promotes their particular economic well-being. And statesmen, politicians, whatever they'll be, you'll see in history, a person will never, ever act in such a way as to promote some course of affairs that will hurt their own economic self-interest. They just don't do it. The course of affairs that they promote, however idealistic or well-suited it may be, you'll also find out at least it doesn't hurt their economic self-interest, and usually, coincidentally,
that happens to improve it. This was shown in the 1920s in America. A historian went and did an economic analysis of the Constitution of the United States, one of these idealistic doctrines. The philosophy was that here are these philosophical men, Jefferson and so on, the class of the people who promulgated the United States. The United States had a sheer goodness of heart. So he did an economic analysis. This is a name, guy named Beard, who's, because this is a so-called Marxist influence. The influence of Marxism, at least, has been, look who's making the money. The simple thing. Look who's making the money. That was the big insight of Karl Marx. When you see any philosophy, any ideology, look who's going to profit. So that's what this person did, taking this. And sure enough, he found out that the Constitution of the United States was going to help all the people that signed it economically. None of their interest would suffer. Well, this was a big controversy at the time. Now it's almost accepted truth. So this becomes a problem in the guidance of society. How are you going to, if everybody's particular situation, especially as regards to their means of livelihood, so much influences their judgment that even if they think to themselves that they're being detached and objective, still you find out that their outlook on life is conditioned by their social and economic considerations. What's the solution to actually guide society as a whole, not to represent the interest of some particular group, but just represent the interest of the society as a whole, everybody's interest? Who's that? That's supposed to be Brahmanas. Now the argument will be, especially those people who look at the history of India, no, that's another. That's another group that's serving its own interests of power and prestige and wealth and so on. That's what's happened. And of course they will be true when they say that, true to the historical facts, at least in Kali Yuga. Because there was the system of varna and ashram that historically developed in India was not the real varna ashram system. The real system of varna and ashrama that is outlined by Krishna is called Daivi Varnashrama Dharma. Daivi means that it is given by a deva, the god. By the way, this is some notion that there's a little confusion in ISKCON sometimes about what this Prabhupada talks about, Daivi Varnashram Dharma. And I've heard various people give theories about what this means and how it differs from ordinary Varnashram Dharma. Well, there are two kinds. It's a simple thing. Because we settled the question one day when sitting down with Sridhar Swami, who did a computer search on the database and pulled out all the references. It's very clear what it actually means. Daivi Varnashram Dharma means the system of Varnashram Dharma established by Krishna. Chatur Varnam Mayasprisam Guna Karma Svabhagasaha. And Prabhupada contrasts with that the Asura Varnashram Dharma, the demoniac Varnashram Dharma system. What is that? Hereditary caste system. Because that is not what has been established by Krishna. Daiti Varnashram Dharma. Means that a person's position in the system is determined by the two things that Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, guna and karma, a person's qualities, and the work that a person is suited to do. According to quality and work, a person belongs to a certain varna. So there's degradation of the Daivi Varnashrama system in Kali Yuga, when the Varnashram system becomes hereditary. And the Brahminical, the priesthood, becomes hereditary. A person, especially in that higher section, when then a person is considered a Brahmana simply by having been born in the Brahminical family, without exhibiting the other, without exhibiting the qualities of a Brahmana. And the other abuse is somebody may be born of parents from a lower group, and for whatever reasons has the qualities of a person of a higher group, that person is not recognized. So this is the Asuric system, and it has led to the present state of India. Because of that, unqualified people become Brahmanas, and because they are interested in their own social ambitions, in their own power, in their own prestige, they do not care for the lower members of society. And the lower members of society become alienated from the Varnashrama Dharma system. They abuse their position. They don't give anybody any respect. The person is Shudra or whatever, they still don't treat them with respect. They don't have the vision of Samadarshanaha, Pandita Samadarshanaha. They don't have a vision of spirit soul. They don't see to engage everybody in Krishna service. They don't themselves think of themselves as servant. But the whole system, because here you see, here's a class system. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. As Prabhupada says it very bluntly, first class men, second class men, third class men, fourth class men. And in the West, you hear them, boom, can you shut it? Fourth class is fourth class. Mid business. How can you call anybody fourth class? That was Prabhupada's statement to this effect. We don't like that, because in America, everyone is officially said to be equal. What started out as a notion that every person should be equal before the law became transferred into the notion that everyone should be equal in every respect. And the point is, they're not. Some are mode of goodness, some mode of passion, some mode of ignorance, quite different by nature. This is what the Varnashram system depends upon, understanding the modes of nature. Once we understand and we learn what the modes of material nature are and how they're working, then you can start to see these different groups. People in the mode of goodness, Brahmanas. People in the mode of passion, or mixture of passion and goodness, Kshatriyas. People in the mixture of good or passion and ignorance, Vaishyas. People in the mode of ignorance, Shudras. There used to be this system, class system. But the whole history of the West has been, especially in America, to get rid of it, you know, the revolutionary tradition. or like in France, you know, get rid of all titles and call each other a citizen, comrade, and so on. But this causes actually chaos, because people are not properly engaged in their right service. But there's a reason why people don't like class distinctions, because the higher exploits the lower. It's that relationship of exploitation that people protest against. And therefore, to get rid of exploitation, the thought is, let's get rid of class. Class goes, exploitation will go. That's been the effort. Of course, you see that it's simply all that happens is, again, there's exploitation under another name. Because it is a fact of nature that the strong will control the weak. The strong will utilize the energy of the weak. The more intelligent will figure out ways to engage the less intelligent. The stronger will, and so on. This is, in fact, a law of nature. You can't change it. The problem is that people don't know, actually, who is strong. So you get some, you know, human being, I'm the strongest, I'm the greatest, and he's exploiting other people, he thinks he's number one. But is he actually strong? No. Material nature is so much stronger than he is, and material nature crushes him. Durga has 10 arms. Each arm has a weapon. She rides a tiger. The tiger's got the paw on the chest of the poor materialist and is jabbing him with the trident of the threefold miseries. That's Durga is actually strong. Stronger than any materialist. 10 arms, 10 weapons. You don't stand a chance. And Durga is ashamed to come before Krishna. So next to Krishna, Durga is actually weak. So the strong is actually Krishna. So if this is known, that actually Krishna is the strong, and beside Krishna everyone else is weak, and all of us, every living entity, is a servant of Krishna, then you have the proper working of this principle. So in the Varnashram Dharma system that Krishna sets up, the Brahmanas are supposed to be Vaishnavas. They are supposed to be servants of Krishna. They may be directing and guiding the whole society with their intelligence. They're so smart they can even get the Kshatriyas to do what they want. These jock types, they're not so bad actually. They're also smart. But they can actually control the Kshatriyas. Even though they're little skinny guys without any weapons, they can control the Kshatriyas because the Kshatriyas need their brains. So the Brahmanas control the Kshatriyas. But the Kshatriyas will not mind if they see that the Brahmana is not deriving any personal profit or aggrandizement. The Brahmana is in fact the servant of Krishna. Then the Kshatriya becomes a servant of Krishna, although he's big and strong and rules the country. The Vaishyas will not mind serving the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas, because he sees they themselves are serving Krishna, so I'm serving Krishna, and they are servants, they are not masters. And similarly, the Shudras will not imagine mind being the servants of these. Prabhupada's name for Shudra is General Assistant. Not have the intelligence for independent capacity for action, but will be able to assist either Vaishya, Kshatriya, or Brahmana. So this is, they won't mind, because everyone is actually a servant of Krishna. This way you have class, you have divisions, because they're natural division, first class, second class, third class, fourth class, and they're there. Now, all amount of wishful thinking in the world and social engineering is not going to get away with it, not unless you know how to actually produce first class people. That can be done. But they don't know how. But the modes of nature will be there, and that order will be there. And the solution is, the reason it's dysfunctional, is that people are not engaged in Krishna service. So people artificially become the master, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas. This is what happened in India. The brahmanas wanted to get their position, they become attached, so naturally a man wants to pass it on to his son. Right? That's a big point of material attachment. I've worked so hard, I've earned so much, now it's mine. How do I keep it after my death? Well, I give it to this son, my tiny replica of myself, who go on and so on. So this they did. So you got this hereditary brahminical priesthood who blew it. They blew it in a big way. Because of that, India is partitioned today. Because what happened is the Shudras became so mistreated and untaken care of, so that when the Muslims came, they said, "What are you in? What do you want to be a Hindu for? Look what it's gotten you. This is scum of the earth." And so, in India, the Muslims spread because of the Shudras, who have become so discontent with their position owing to the way that the Brahmanas were behaving. So then you had two groups, Hindus and Muslims. And then with the British came and exploited this division. Formerly at least there was two groups, Hindus and Muslims, but they got along pretty well. You can see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a little tension, but mostly everybody got along in a civil way. It was the British came. The British explicit policy everywhere they went with colonial rule was divide and conquer. So in very deliberate ways, they set one side against the other. It's just like, it's a standard rule. Napoleon was famous. He protected his position by keeping his generals fighting against each other. Go to one general, you know what he says about you. Go to the other guy, you know what he says about you. In this way, keep them always busy fighting each other, so nobody had a chance to get him. This is the Asuric way of ruling. This is what the British did also. And they created this big Hindu-Muslim division. So because of that reason, then India became a partition. Then you have the seeds of a gigantic war brewing up, all because the brahmanas became contaminated. This caste brahman system, that's why. All this historical analysis of Srila Prabhupada's lecture and talk to him like this. So that's why it's necessary. If Krishna is there, the system's connected to Krishna, Daivivanashram Dharma, then it works. It's the only thing that'll work. Nothing else is going to work. So our business of this Krishna consciousness movement is, Prabhupada said, is to create brahmanas. He'll talk about that in the next verse. We'll have to discuss whether or not this is possible. Prabhupada said it was possible to create brahmanas. Prabhupada visited Detroit and he met one. They brought some priests, some fairly famous Detroit priests, to see him. And It was an interesting discussion. One of the priests was famous for their social welfare work, and one priest's business was to they worked with handicapped children, and big thing was to take big tours of handicapped kids to the Vatican. That was what he did. Was his service. And they were trying to explain to Prabhupada about it. They started out by saying to Prabhupada, "What message do you have for the parents of handicapped children?" Prabhupada just, "Well, handicapped is handicapped." You know. They were like a little sentimental. And then Prabhupada finally got to, he wanted to explain to them what Krishna consciousness was about. So he explained how society has these four dimensions: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, first class men, second class men, third class men, fourth class men. I only heard the tape, but I could, probably in the tape, you could feel the priests, you could hear little whimpers, you know, from the background when he was speaking in this way. To them, when you say first or second class, immediately say someone is second class. Prabhupada could say that because he wasn't putting anyone down, he wasn't claiming his own superiority, he was just announcing a fact of life. There was no false ego involved in this. There wasn't any kind of... But they couldn't hear that at all. It just cringed. So anyway, Prabhupada explained how society went into a very wonderful explanation about how society is not working because there are no first class men. The whole society is falling apart because there are no first class men. There's no one to give guidance, no one to give direction, no one who actually sees the absolute truth and understands it and knows how to bring it to bear on practical affairs. That's the characteristics, jnana vijnana. They have knowledge of what's in the scripture, and vijnana, they can apply it. This is what brahmanas are for. And so Prabhupada explained all this, and then he says, "So what do you think?" And there's a silence, you know. And then one of the priests says, "Well, we would say that was elitist." Yeah, so they just couldn't hear at all what Prabhupada was saying, because his conception that it's elitist. So as soon as you say brahmanas are first class, immediately elitist. So what happens? Someone who has good qualities, someone who can give guidance to society, someone who needs proper training, different from everybody else, is not recognized. And that talent is lost. It's gone. So this system has to be there. We have to create actual brahmanas. So the point is, that I want to make, you see the standard here is they are socially unattached. They are supposed to not be attached to a particular amount of income. They are by nature poor. This economic attachment has to be there. That they cannot be thinking, where's money, where's money, where's money? How will I eat tomorrow? You know, that's not their business. If they can't stand the insecurity, then not a first class man. Maybe second, maybe third, maybe fourth. That depends. This is how you discover. What? Not that, oh, I'm a brahmana. I'm a brahmana, and then every day I'm worried, where's my money coming from? Where's my money coming? Let me do this, let me do that. No. Here, if there's no food today, well, I'll have to go out, collect paddy in the fields, whatever. That will do. That depends on whatever comes of its own accord. Says if you really have to, you can do some agriculture, but it's not really the best thing to do. So anyway, this is the standard means of livelihood that's given. For these four occupational groups. So we're supposed to, anyway, tomorrow we'll talk about making Brahmanism, whether and how it's possible. That's what Prabhupada will talk about tomorrow's verse. Any questions? No.
But then only these classes are determined by your standard of pronunciation, your thoughts and magic.
Yeah.
It's not. Say if such is more one to that aristocracy and wants to become a Brahmin, is that simple because against his duty as a Kshatriya?
No. What is his duty as a Kshatriya depends on his quality and his work. The ideal situation is if someone's born in the family of Kshatriyas and his teachers, his Brahmanas, should see from looking at this child early on, this actually is not the quality of this child is so much motive goodness, so little passion, that is actually a Brahmana. So he'll determine like that. So it's up that very early, in 5, 6, 7 years old maybe, the child's position can be determined by a very good. You have to have Brahmanas to see this, and the parents may not like so much sometimes, but it's better if actually a person belongs to such a group that they work that way. One point during my political career, when I was running for office as part of the Ingavi Trust Party for Purified Leaders, I gave a 4-point program for reforming the education system in Pennsylvania, and I delivered it at a couple of gatherings. And actually, I had a bunch of state senators ask for copies of it. And one of them was based on Varnashram Dharma, and it was that respect for the child's individuality. It was a 4-point program. First one, teachers have to teach by example. I advocated early on that no one should be a teacher who smokes or drinks, for example. That was the first thing. The second thing was, why have spent all money on all these expensive school buildings where all over the city you have empty churches and empty lodge halls and everything else, and if you need more classroom space, just use these buildings. It's stupid. Spend money like that. Third thing was that the education of the children, for the most part, should be funded by government and industry. They have a vested interest in seeing that the people come out are able to function. So that actually, if you get rid of study halls and home rooms and everything like that, you can teach a full high school curriculum in the morning. So the kids should go to school in the morning, some local place. And in the afternoon, they go to vocational training. If they're really educated, they go straight to start taking college courses, or they go to banks, or they go to firing ranges with police, or something like that. So by the time they graduate from college, from high school, most of them are ready to work, except for those that are going to things and need further training. That was some program. And then the one section was, at an early age, this was like disguised Varnashram Dharma. Respect for the child's individuality. You look and see, and if the person is by nature like a laborer, really, like you've got manual skills and likes to stack bricks on top of another, you right away recognize that, build up respect, and early on, you get him engaged in that service that he likes. So he'll be happy and content. So I smuggled the whole Varnashram Dharma system, or at least Varna system, into this proposal. And people really liked it, It's like a really interesting thing. Now some of the things I'm starting to do, including the no smoking and drinking for teachers, by the way, it's starting to become people starting to notice that, hey, why should you have somebody be a teacher who has these habits? They must be really stupid. So anyway, that's it's a natural system. And, there's just so, the idea is now everyone has to go to college. So all that's done is, drag the level of a college education down to, you get a PhD now, is what you get the education used to get graduated from college. You graduated from college now, you get the equivalent of a high school education, and a high school education is like what you should have at the eighth grade. Because no one wants to say, we're going to take this group and train them this way, we're going to take this group and train them that way, we're going to take this group and train them this way. Because as soon as you create that division, it's, elitism, class distinctions, and so on like that. But if you really do it in this way, each varna develops its own subculture with its own, its own goals, its own standards, its own pride in the way it does things. And why should you have this single standard? There was some poor kid in high school where the standard for everybody, socially, is to be an athlete, and he's not athletic, and so he's a nerd, a geek, a mutant, all that other stuff. Whereas he's this group. This is what he's like. And in fact, they end up doing that anyway. You got the vocational kids, you got the kids that are going to. But then everybody has to pretend there's not these divisions. And everyone becomes nervous about the whole thing if there's something illicit about it. And the kids are never really, you never really get to get into it. Probably because everybody's afraid, of what it'll do. But you just have to say, people who are workers, who are laborers, they have to learn that that's another culture. And they have to learn that culture. Of course, what you have to ultimately do is everybody has to understand that they're working for Krishna. Once that's there, then nobody will care. And the notion is that one may be doing this work, one may be responsible for a whole lot of money, and one may be responsible for very little, but the actual quality of the devotional quality of the work is identical. And there's no higher and lower in the absolute platform, then people will accept it. Yeah. Don't know. I've never seen any more than just what he said.
The other question is that,
but they had somehow lost their independence.
Since they're considered respectable,
Well, there was the whole thing in with them is a little ambiguous, isn't it? Because Bhishma Dev is on the so Arjuna had to do his duty. So from the point of view of his duty, the fact that they were respectable Brahmins and all that stuff, it didn't count because actually, they had made a mistake. On the other side, when push came to shove, it could be realized that Bhishma is one of the Mahajanas, and he gave great instructions while he was lying on the deathbed about treated with respect by everybody also. And he knew, as he says then, that this is the plan of the Lord is there. Nobody could understand it. I had my position in that plan. And everybody saw that too. But as far as saying I'm not going to fight in this battle because, they're respectable people, Krishna said, forget it. Look who they're working for. There was not sufficient reason to fight in the battle, but still ultimately he treated them with respect. Lord, it's a good problem.